97.5, The Fanatic.
This is the home of the Sixers and Flyers, and you get to double dip today because the Flyers are at the Rangers at noon. Wow, they're on a roll, right? What a team right now. They are on a roll. They've won five in a row, and you can bring up their road record, but their road record doesn't pale in comparison to the Sixers' road record. They are 14-15-3. The Sixers will test their 9-21 road record after the Flyers game. They have a 3:30 contest against the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers are on a little bit of a roll as well. Let me see. I think they've won. It's either three or five in a row. Either way, they have won 40 games on the season. And as I mentioned, the Sixers have failed to figure out their road woes to this point. And as we all know, they will be minus their two all-stars. No Ben Simmons, no Joel Embiid. So you kind of have one team that has you feeling really, really good right now, and that would be the Flyers. And I thought there's a couple of great articles in the paper today, not just about the Flyers, but their leader, right? Alain Vigneault. And he kind of deflects that he is responsible for how they are playing, but there is something to be said that he has gotten his group to buy into what he believes is a winning way or winning culture. And they're, you know, sitting pretty. I think it was only 2 weeks ago that we're talking about they were hovering in that wild card area, and now they aren't. And so they have, let's see, they have 81 points. The Rangers have 74. So they'll go in there and test the waters against those New York Rangers. And then after that game, you will get to digest where the Sixers are right now. And I don't think I've been on the air since it has been officially named that there is no Embiid and there is no Simmons for the foreseeable future. Embiid, I know today Keith Pompey wrote that he could join his team on this West Coast swing, which equals four games. It starts today against the Clippers, and then Tuesday they play the Lakers. To me, that is just danger zone, because that means Monday night you get to stay in L.A. and enjoy L.A. if you are. So we'll see. And then it's Sacramento and then the Warriors. Steph Curry was thought to be coming back today. That's right. Today's March 1st, but he's not going to do that. But he could do it against the Sixers. Wouldn't that be ironic if he makes his debut in that final game of their road trip? Either way, I think the Sixers are looking at a 4-5 matchup in the postseason. Time is winding down. And if you look at the standings right now, they are a game behind Miami, who is in the fourth seed. Then they are a game in front of Indiana, who is in the sixth seed. They could get to four, they could slip to six. I have no idea. But they're in that range, and even though Boston lost last night, and I don't know if anybody else watched it, it was an overtime loss to the Houston Rockets. Boston's playing well. They didn't win that game. Jason Tatum, I got to tell you, when you look at Jason Tatum, and I know Markelle Fultz was in the news this week with regards to Philadelphia, but seriously, not only you gave up, you gave up a pick and selected a guy who's just a nice player, and meanwhile, Tatum, to me, is playing out of his mind. So we can talk about it. I think the biggest thing I thought about as I was reading the newspaper this morning is the fact that these two teams, the Flyers and the Sixers, give you very different feelings right now. One has you feeling like there's such optimism. Maybe their time has come sooner than people thought. Maybe they could do damage in the postseason. And the other team, you're hoping actually gets past the first round in the playoffs. And they were thought to be the team that would give you the most optimism. And it certainly has turned.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
It is so irritating. So, thank you, Mr. McInnes. And the other thing in reading Keith Pompey, and it brings up a valid question. Was Ben Simmons rushed back? Because if we recall, they returned from the All-Star break. They have a practice. It was on February 19th. He supposedly, this is what we are told, suffers a back injury going up for a rebound and landing weird, or coming down and something happened. So he sits out that next game against the Nets, and then he is deemed ready to play against Milwaukee. He plays 4 minutes and 44 seconds in that Milwaukee game. He did score 5 points, and then he leaves the game. They examine him. He's re-examined, and he will be now reevaluated in 2 weeks with a, it's not a pinched nerve. What is that word they call it? I'll find it. But anyhow, it's his lower back is a problem, and he's at least 2 weeks. So the question for some is, why was he playing in that game against Milwaukee? And, you know, who made that call? That's what people want to know. And so here you are at a pivotal time in the season. They are 37-23, and a 4-game road swing is ahead of them without probably both of them. I don't buy that Embiid will join them on this trip. I don't. So nerve impingement. That's how they call it. Nerve impingement. Some say pinched nerve, but the official title is nerve impingement. So we'll see. How do you feel about these two teams right now? And then the other thing, I actually was in Indianapolis for a conference that surrounded the NFL Combine. And it's so funny. You fly to a different city and I see Les Bowen, I see Zach Berman, I see Jeff Mosher, I see all these writers just walking down the street. It's a riot. It's the place to be if you want football. And it's 24/7 on your TV. And people, I say, so everybody, every sport has its thing. In the NBA All-Star, everybody goes. It's where you get your info. It's always surrounding now the way they've changed the schedule. It's just after the trade deadline, but it used to be leading up to the trade deadline. So everybody has to gather and, you know, get their storylines. That is what the NFL Combine is. The Pro Bowl is not where you gather, and this is the gathering of their year. And it's very, very, it's just interesting. And I guess it depends on the city, but because Indianapolis is such, there is nothing that you can't do where you're not walking from one, whether you go to the combine, to eat, to the hotel, everything is in this radius of, I don't know, what do we want to say, 10 blocks? 10. It's just a big circle, and everybody sees everybody. So that's how I spent my last couple of days leading up to this. But I am curious to know what you feel about the upcoming postseason for both hockey and basketball. Because I feel like we've switched. I feel like people now kind of want to hop on the, I'm going to call it the hockey bandwagon or the Flyers bandwagon, because I think they believe they have a greater chance of enjoying a longer run. Josh Rabick, you're the man. You like your hockey. You think that's going to be a longer run?
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, especially because it is hockey, and as long as you make the dance, you have a shot.
That's true. And especially if Carter Hart is playing well, because I think we all believe in hockey that, though, I will say it's more than just the goalie. To me, because they have found a way to have such productivity, I guess is the best word, of all of their lines. That's, to me, what really... And then you have a guy like a Carter Hart, who, in his first full year, we have no idea when the lights get really bright. But right now, if you just go by his statistics, you'd be okay. I know his road record is not equivalent to what he has done at home. I get that part of it. But you take your chances.
You 100% nailed it, because in hockey, it's a lot more about depth, and what wins you championships, what wins you Stanley Cups is your third, fourth line, and say your third pair of defensemen. In maybe basketball, it's probably the most important sport as far as your star player. So it's different in contrast, where hockey's probably the least important for your star player out of the four.
Right. And that, see, Josh brings up an excellent point. I was so anticipating for the first time in the 3 years, I call it the 50-win teams. First time I thought the Sixers are going to go into the postseason healthy with their stars. Nope. I don't believe it. I mean, I know both of these guys are coming back. The world can tell me what they want. Both of them will be back for the postseason. But I don't like that once again, when you are in the critical run of the end of the regular season, you're dealing with these injuries. It seems you cannot set the table properly for the right postseason run. And so with Joel, to me, people were complaining that he wasn't in shape before. Now he's missing games. He's not getting in any better shape. He could. He should. But you and I both know that's not the case. So Joel, and then the Simmons one is that X factor. And then in the big picture of the Simmons part of that, I think he was playing very, very good basketball, very aggressive basketball, get to the line, all of that. But we still are all sitting here waiting to see how much is he going to hurt them by his lack of willingness to shoot an outside shot again in the postseason. It just, to me, one is setting itself up to be a really strong possibility of like, not just a prayer. It was a prayer before that the Flyers would get to the postseason, right? Now, you really believe they're going to stay there and solidify themselves as a postseason team right now as they're heading into the end stretch. The Sixers, yes, they are solidified. They're not going anywhere. They're not dropping out of the top eight. But the feeling is like, for what? Will they really be able to get out of the first round? Now, I will say this. Miami are 4-6 in their last 10, but they are a very good home team, and I do believe they're righting the ship. They've won their last two, so even though their last 10 have not been ideal, I do think that will be the matchup. I don't think the Sixers slip to 6, even if they are looking at a prolonged absence of their two stars. And by the way, anybody want to weigh in on, you really only have the one game, and it was at home, and it was against the Knicks, so I guess you really can't say. But personally, I'm proud of Shake Milton. I think he's done a really, I would have, and I did say it, I would have had him as the backup point long before. Poor guy got an early season injury that knocked him out of the rotation. And then you started playing with the Neto, the since-departed Trey Burke. Is Shake Milton, the kid can play, and he's a combo guard. I'll check on his turnovers. That's the only thing I haven't checked, but I'm going to bet that he has not had a high turnover game in this time where he's been relied upon to play significant minutes. So, anyhow, weigh in. 610-632-0975. I don't know if it's from the plane ride. If I sound like I'm out of breath, I apologize, but I'm like having this asthma moment. 610-632-0975. Rob is with us on the phone. Let's go to Rob and check in. Rob, how's it going?
Hi, Dee. How you doing?
I'm doing
long
all right.
No talk. I'm so glad to hear you on a Sunday morning.
I love Sunday mornings.
Yeah, it's great. I'm traveling out of state, so I'm in the car, you know, and it's great to hear from you. And the comparison, I'm not a big hockey person, but I'm jumping on the bandwagon again. I root for the Flyers, and I read a good article in the paper about the coach.
Yes, Vigneault.
Yeah, it's so important. And apparently, and I've heard from the beginning from some of the pundits that this coach is fantastic. He's very experienced. I guess he's been in the finals a couple times, never won.
You know, I just read he is the 10th winningest NHL coach.
Wow.
That's pretty fantastic. He's 58 years old, and yeah, 10th winningest.
And the thing that hit me in the article is that he was willing to demote his star player. I don't know the name of the player, to the fourth line, and that he would bench the star players if they're not doing what he wants them to do. And to me, that's the opposite of Brett Brown. I love Brett Brown and his whole personality and when he speaks and whatnot, but it doesn't seem like he's held Ben Simmons and Embiid accountable. You know, and you know, we talked last year about the Simmons with the elbow out and stuff. Looks like it's a tiny bit in, but it's, you know, he's still not shooting. He's still not taking the shot.
Right. No, he definitely
shoot.
No, he definitely doesn't. Not in game action. The only thing I'll give Simmons a little bit of credit for is increasing his number of free throw attempts per game.
Right. And my question to you is, can't Brett Brown tell Simmons, you're going to go out this next play and you're going to take a 10, 12-foot shot. We're going to run the play for you. And if you don't do it, you're going to sit on the bench. And can he do that?
Well, certainly he could do that. I will tell you, because people think that that question has not been asked to Brett Brown. And what Brett has said in response to saying, can you not run a play that makes, you know, that is run for Simmons to shoot that. And his response has been that yes, but he has deferred to Simmons, will come back and say, but I saw something better.
I think I lost you here.
Yeah, that Simmons sees something better and he takes that option. That's basically what I can tell you.
Yeah, and the hockey coach would sit him on the bench for half, you know, if he did that, right?
Maybe. I mean, the only thing I hear you, and there are examples of Vigneault helping people, and I don't like to say that he... I appreciate the phone call, Rob. I don't like to say that he, quote, benches people per se, but take a time or take a step back to look and evaluate where you are, and if it's a slump, so to speak, like, how can we get you back to being productive, right? If Vigneault doesn't make it, this is your punishment. He doesn't do it like that. Actually, every time he talks, I feel like he's such a professional with everybody. He's a professional with the media. He's a professional when he speaks about his players. To me, I'm not in the locker room or the rink, but it sounds to me that he speaks professionally to everybody. This is your job. This is my job. Let's all just do our jobs. Like, what better way to do it? And I would agree with you. I think Brett thinks that he is doing something comparable, but I would say to the outside world, it certainly does not look like he is willing to make a Simmons or an Embiid by using their minutes differently. Take a step back and look at I get how you help our team, but do you understand when you hurt our team and how you hurt our team? And in both cases, we could paint the picture. We know what it is, right? And Embiid, yeah, I did see, it was probably because I was in another city, you know, and people were like, what is Embiid like? And it's funny, the perception is outsiders, they do not like, kind of like, I'm not a Draymond Green fan. I'm sure I would love him if he were on my team. But in those championship runs, he annoys beyond. And there's an outside world that finds Embiid annoying. Now, if he's on your team, you love that annoyance. But the outside world, there's something about him that really turns people or like rubs them the wrong way. And then everybody wants to know, like, what is it with Simmons that he doesn't shoot, you know? You don't have a good answer. You say, well, he's 3 years in. Maybe it'll come eventually. I don't know if it will. But right now I know that they need to. So I'll be very interested because the chemistry of the Sixers, to me, has not been right for a good chunk of this year. And I know they have the best home record at 28-2 and one of the worst or, you know, with the bottom feeders road records of 9-21. But I'll be very interested in seeing what the demeanor of the group that goes out there minus those two stars, because people like Al Horford have had to kind of placate to the style of those two guys. I don't think he anticipated that he would have to do it to the extent that he has to. Tobias Harris gets maligned for being paid that max contract, and he doesn't equal that for people. Josh Richardson, you know, he's part of a deal that said bye-bye to Jimmy Butler, and he doesn't deliver in any way near shape or form of a Butler. So here is an opportunity for those three in particular. Those two are not even on this trip. They will not be cheering you on that sideline. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go and show people, like, it isn't our fault? We're not the reason. We've had to, like, figure our games have to fill in around these two. And I say, opportunity, take it. Show people that, you know, minus those two, that you three can carry this team. There's a lot of good role players behind you, but you three are supposed to be able to win games. You shouldn't be just a 500 team if you have Al Horford, Tobias Harris, and Josh Richardson. You should be able to go win games. And wouldn't it be ironic? Like, that would be my challenge to the locker room if I'm Al, Tobias, whoever wants to be the voice. Let's have the winning road trip. Let's be 3-1 on this road trip when we're a 9-21 coming into it. And let's show them, like, we are not the problem. 610-632-0975. Join the conversation right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
So it's a Super Sunday, at least if you're a Flyers and a Sixers fan. The Flyers will play at noon at the New York Rangers. Game you can listen to right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And then at 3:30, the Sixers will take on the Clippers on the road at the Staples Center. By the way, the line, now I get it, no Simmons and no Embiid, but the Clippers are minus 12.5? Come on, Josh, don't you think that seems a little steep? I mean, I don't know. That seems,
does it, though?
I think the Clippers have been up and down, quite frankly. I'm checking out. I know they're on a winning streak, too, of some sort. Eh, it's modest. Well, they've won 3 in a row. They've won 6 of their last 10.
Paul George got clicking a little bit at the last game.
Yeah, that's
he's
true.
Clicking.
All right, maybe. 12.5. They're not giving them a shot, man. I'm serious. If I'm... I should be in that locker room. If I am Al Horford, Tobias, and Josh Richardson, I'm saying, you know, they think we're the problem. Show them they're not. Show them you are not. I will say this. I do, and this is the first time I've been on the air since the article where Glenn Robinson comes out and says he wasn't defined his role. Who are these people? Grow up. You're paid to play basketball, you know? Or just admit, I enjoy getting 30 minutes a game on a losing team more so than trying to figure out how I could contribute to a team that has a chance, if you figured it out, to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. What? That you should be embarrassed that you told a reporter that. That is embarrassing. I got news for you. I don't know if it was on Instagram. I think it was. There was a great picture, and he hasn't made a three since he came to the Sixers. I do believe that's still true. I didn't check after the Knicks game, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm embarrassed.
this group, I need somebody. I don't care if it's Elton, Brett, one of the players, to really just say, hey, dudes, let's check ourselves here. You know, we're not really performing to the level that we should. And we're all kind of nitpicking at our own personal stuff. Stop. You get paid to play. Go out and do it. 12 and a half is that. Now, I'm terrible because, of course, after I looked at the Sixers over, and the over-under on that was, I think, 218. So they sure as heck don't think the Sixers are going to score many points. And then I look at, I wonder what the Flyers are. But I wouldn't bet, the same as I'm terrible with baseball betting, too. Like, those numbers, they don't register good enough in my brain. But we do know this, that the Flyers have won five in a row. They're second in the Metropolitan. They have 81 points. Washington has 84. The Rangers, 74 points. And so, you know, you hope you go in there and look more like the team that plays at home than you do what has produced a 14-15-3 road record. But it's exciting to watch this group, and it's fun to read about them. And today, actually, Marcus Hayes wrote about, I would not have remembered the 2009-10 Flyers season, and he was comparing the two. First of all, that's 10 years is another part of how time just starts to fly by. But there's a feel good that's comparable between the two, and that there were young players that he was looking at. Actually, those young players, some of them are still here and being productive now. But he has a really good comparison of that team and then this team. And that team was coached by LaViolette, which I think it was his first year also.
They actually made a midseason change that year because I'm forgetting who was coaching at the time. He actually was fired during the season somewhere between like November, December, and
LaViolette was?
No, LaViolette stepped in.
Yeah, he becomes the guy. Right, right. God, I can't remember who he took over for. But you are right. He did.
It was John Stevens. I just clicked.
And I love John Stevens. John Stevens was... Now I'm really going to date myself. John Stevens, I don't know if you knew this, Josh. This is going to be fun. John Stevens played on the Phantoms team that actually played here in Philly in the Spectrum that won the Calder Cup. And he had a terrible eye injury during that year. He got a puck hit him in the eye. Oh, my God. But that was like a big deal when they won the Calder Cup. And then he becomes the coach. And yes, you're right. Then he got fired. But then he went on. He coached out west, I do believe. If I'm not mistaken, he might have coached in L.A. I think so.
Yes, and so you were talking about the Calder Cup during the NHL lockout, correct?
Probably.
I was in the building.
You were in that building?
When they won it.
Yeah.
Because Carter and Richards were on that team because they had them play there. Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the goalie of that Calder Cup team, Neil Little, does that sound right?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if he was still there anymore because I know he was there at the end of the 90s into the early 2000s. I almost want to say Antero Nitamaki at the time was the goalie. And then when they came back, he backed up Esch the first year back.
Might have been. Did they win more than one Calder Cup? I cannot believe I'm talking about the Calder Cup, by the way.
I actually do not know anything around that time period. We didn't have NHL, so I remember they also had Patrick Sharp, and they had to make the decision Patrick Sharp or Mike Richards.
I think I'm earlier than you're remembering, because Neil Little was definitely the goalie on the Calder Cup team that won at the Spectrum. I'll never forget. I was in the locker room. I mean, for them... And for me, when people win championships, no matter the league or the level, the celebration is like that real. You feel like you are in a championship setting of great magnitude. And I remember they were all drinking out of the Calder Cup, quite frankly. So anyhow, we digress. But that...
Okay, to answer your question, so Little and Nitamaki both played that season. Nitamaki was the starter. Little was the backup. I'm not sure who's exactly.
All right, no, that's fine.
But they both were on the team.
Yeah. But I would talk to Neil Little a lot. I don't know if he was part of that. No, I don't think he was part of the team. But the first time I ever started covering, Brian Boucher at one point was a Phantoms dude. I mean, there's a lot of them that came through there. And I liked when they played at the Spectrum because you got to know that group. And people did come through. You just rattled off a number of names that became part of the Flyers organization. I had this conversation. My dad was down there at the G League and the Bluecoats played last night. And we were talking. I said, do you think that they've done a good job in developing players? And he reminded me that there has always been a minor league for the NBA, but never like what the G League is now. I mean, these guys get 10-day contracts, but a lot of them get real deals. And the way it is set up for people to succeed. And in particular with the Sixers, I mean, look, Shake's going to start tonight. This guy was a two-way guy. This is a second-round player. Norvell Pell earned the right to be the backup center that you now need and be a rim protector. And so I think they've done a good job. And actually, I think hopefully in April before the postseason starts, I think you'll see Mariel Šejak because the G League season will end. He will be allowed to be with the Sixers. And I think they'll give him a chance because the kid has played. He's a top five scorer in the G League. He's had his back-to-back games he had 7 assists the other night. He had 5 last night because everybody says he can't. He's not a willing passer. He is. And I think his defense has improved because that's the biggest area for those kind of guys. Guys like Šejak. To be able to defend people is and you got to be able to do what you do great, which is score for both of them, in a shorter spurts. You're not getting 30 minutes when you come to the NBA. Can you knock down a shot when you come off the bench and be a momentum guy? That's what you figure out. 610-632-0975. Flyers, Rangers, Sixers, Clippers. Who you got today? Join the conversation. D-Line in with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So coming up at noon today here on 97.5 The Fanatic will be a rematch between the Flyers and the Rangers. On Friday, the Flyers beat the Rangers at the Wells Fargo 5-2. Today's rematch is at Madison Square Garden. On Friday, Carter Hart stopped 26 shots on the way to the Flyers' fifth consecutive win. I didn't realize on Friday was Eric Lindros' birthday. He turned 48. Whoa. So this is just funny to me that I see this quote that he said, "The only downside to my day was when I had to tell my oldest son that Carter Hart wasn't coming to my birthday party." And the only thing that I find funny is Eric was never, like, not a real humor guy when you would interview him. It was kind of, everything was pretty dry. So that's funny to me that he would have to tell him that Carter Hart wasn't coming to the birthday party. And I also did not know that Hayes has a beer that's been named after him. I'm not really a beer person. Kevin Hayes has a, it's called the, I think if I'm saying it right, I've only seen this in print, but I think it's called the Hazy 13 by Yards. And it's a New England style IPA. So if anybody out there has tried it, I love that he hasn't. That would be cool to have a drink named after you. That's, and a beer. I think that's cool.
And it's Yard, so you know they're doing it right.
Absolutely. And actually, I call it the Hazy 13. It's the big hazy. It's the big hazy because we don't want a small hazy, right? Of course not. Anyhow, it is a rematch, and Carter Hart, I assume, is in net tonight, right? Or today, I should say.
That's what they were hinting at yesterday, yeah, that Hart would get the start again.
Of course, and he should. And I love when I'm looking at his home record. He's 18-2-2 at home and 14-1 over his last 15 starts. These are big time. Those are big time numbers. So we'll see how the Flyers and the Rangers go down. Again, that game begins at noon. But it's a doubleheader right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, because that is the noon contest. And then the 3:30 contest is the Sixers and the Clippers. And I
get excited.
See that? Yeah, I need you to get a little excited out there. I feel like, you know, the kind of the wind below the Sixers' sail has very much gone south. I think, you know, not having those two stars, being kind of locked in this fifth seed for as long as they have been locked in. And again, they're one behind the fourth seed. If the Celtics lose last night, so now that number is 4.5. Personally, I don't think there's enough time to get to 3. And yeah, I don't think they will slip to 6. It's a possibility because there's only one game separating them. But it's, you know, that's still out there. It's one in the loss. I always look at the loss column. Yes, you do look at games back, but you just want to make sure. So you check the loss column. And so it's one different with the Pacers. And the Pacers, it's interesting. The Pacers, the Sixers, and the Heat, they're all playing just okay. Miami 4-6 in their last 10. The Sixers 6-4. The Pacers 5-5. Now, all happen to be on modest winning streaks. Miami's 1-2 in a row. The Sixers 1-1. That was the game against the Knicks. We'll see what they do with this 4-game road trip out west. And then the Pacers currently are on a 3-game winning streak. So, you know, I think the fact that they're kind of going to be that 4-5 matchup, you will play a Miami Heat team that, you know, you've had success. They've had success. It goes either way. Miami at home, as good as the Sixers are, by the way, these teams that are in front of them in the standings all have unbelievable home records, by the way. Like, to just assume, first of all, if you stay at 5, you're going to have to win a road game. And I share this with a lot of people. They say, well, that's you know, they're terrible on the road. I think in their mind, because last year they won a game in Brooklyn, they won a game in Toronto, I think they don't care that they're 9-21 on the road. I really don't. I think they look at it and say, we only have to steal one because we're that good at home. I got news for you. 27-3 is Milwaukee at home. 23-9, now that might sound not as good, is Toronto at home. 23-6 are the Celtics at home.
Uh-oh.
25-4 are the Heat at home, and you're 28-2. I mean, 28-2 sounds magnificent. I agree, but those other numbers aren't like you're just automatically going to go in there and get a W. Let's check in with Jerome. By the way, 610-632-0975, but Jerome wants to talk about the Sixers. What's going on, Jerome? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Excalibur. Hello, D. Before I get started, I have a question. Did you do a play-by-play or something as far as women's basketball? Or was that someone who was trying to imitate you?
What do you mean somebody trying to imitate me? Nobody can imitate me. Yes, there was. I call the Princeton women's basketball games,
there
and there
go,
was one NBC Sports Philly recently.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
I said that sounds like, and I couldn't stay and listen as long as I wanted to, but you know, good vibe.
Thank you. Can I just give a shout out to my Princeton women's group? They are, let's see, 23-1.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'm giving a shout out to them because I really hope in the history of them, they'll go to the NCAA tournament for sure.
Okay.
But I so want them to get to the second round because that has only happened once in the history of that program.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
There is a chance. And they have a player that will be a first round WNBA selection for sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's difficult for me to keep up with college type of things. I mean, I only have
time. Yeah.
You know?
No.
And unfortunately, I only have so much. We have only so much time.
Yes.
You know, would I grab a hold of somebody else's conversation? Without what I doubt when I'm talking to you. Let me jump to what I want to focus in on, though.
Yeah.
As I've gotten more mature, I won't say older, I find that I am not that push towards whether or not a team from the beginning of the season is going to make the playoffs. You know what I get turned on about? I get turned on about the fines, the diamonds in the rough, the people that, you know, you unexpectedly see can provide positive things to a team.
So who's your diamond in the rough that you've found or seen this year?
I mean, I was knocked over the head when, as far as Shake Milton, when he had him playing at the two. But and obviously, looking at it, for me, of the first few games, some of the most novice of novice, he's actually a good backup point guard.
Yeah, because he's a combo guard.
Yes.
The world hasn't been listening to me. I've been saying this.
Yeah, well, you see, this is one of the things, and this is, like I said, another novice thing. I don't have a radio program. I mean, I run a station. But I almost wish that at times they would say, you know, notifications, this person's going to be on this time, this person's going to be at another time, because some people, myself, like to listen or hear.
Sure.
You understand?
Yeah, yeah. I
mean,
it has
validity. I know you got insight, so maybe, you know, you drop a hint.
Well, no, but here's the deal, and I probably, because, like you said, how much time do we have to watch, you know, so many things. Like, last night I actually did watch the UCLA Arizona men's basketball game because I'm a fellow Bruin, but I see a lot of G League because I work in the league.
Okay,
and
I didn't know that.
Yes, so Shake was down there all of last year. He was a two-way guy at the time, but this guy could play, and
right.
And this what
feel
they
confident about him bringing the ball up.
Yeah, because that's what he worked on. That's what he worked on last year.
You know, I'm not. You mentioned names.
Yeah.
The person, Norvell Pell. Now, I've talked to some people, and it's like poo-poo, and he has no value. This is something, look.
Whoever said that, they're dead wrong.
Yes, because the superstars, you are not going to deter them from their game as far as their offense. But the secondary players, which all teams have, are going to take a moment to maybe pause and hesitate and not drive through the basket. And that's all you need.
Yeah, he's flat out a rim protector. I'm just telling you.
He has cork moss. You know, people have like denigrated his ability. I'm saying to myself, set shooter, and I'm not a gambling person. He is the best three-pointer from positions on the court. And yeah, I will not.
Well, that's
not
true.
Yes. Any, yeah. any knucklehead, and I consider me an average knucklehead, could see that. The fact that the guy, the one
I'm going to call myself below average knucklehead.
Okay, well, we're same page. But guess what? What the average is above that. The gentleman who got some minutes, who plays, who I look when I see flashes on the bench, where I see a person who has sat and a large segment of time, whether he mopes, whether he gripes,
sure,
whether, and you know what I'm talking about, the big fellow, the guy who's the one who wanted to take, and he requested to leave the Sixers organization because he wasn't getting minutes. I'm not talking about Burke. That's another story I'll get back to. But the big guy, the one who had 8 rebounds in about maybe 20 minutes, I may be giving, you know who I'm talking about on the Sixers?
I really don't.
Kyle O'Quinn?
Oh, Kyle O'Quinn, yeah. I didn't know he asked to leave. I don't think so.
That was the report that was made over the television. Is that he was so dissatisfied that he requested. Now, whether that information was wrong, but I know my hearing wasn't.
All right. Well, I'll go with that, but Kyle's a pretty stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that. I didn't hear it.
Right.
I will say, and Jerome, I got to hit a break. Thank you for the phone call. I will say this, that there have been a number of conversations that just reek of it not being a cohesive locker room. That part, I would agree with you. To get into the specifics of who said what, I'm not totally sure. But as I said in the beginning of this program, that they really need to all stop talking about their individual woes and why it is happening to them, and get on the same page because they haven't accomplished enough to not. 610-632-0975, D-Line, and with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.